Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. Tonight, we've got discussions of things. We're going to probably talk about the late 90s, early aught science fiction series that's actually got a really popular podcast. Still, even though the series was canceled a long time ago.
It's a podcast about the series?
I think it is. I don't know if it's like fan fiction podcast or what it is, but somehow people still are able to talk about Firefly to this day. And that's what we're going to talk about at some point. But there are other things we could talk about for a while, too, if you'd like.
Like what?
Everyone's week's been going. We were in the middle of actually like a discussion about...
Well, you didn't see it.
Yeah.
We were in a discussion about, I don't know what it was. Was it comic books or something?
Yeah, but it was mainly just about how the movies ended up being that's, instead of making their own storylines, they just kind of cannibalize ones that have done better in the comic books, and then they kind of make it worse, and everyone's upset because they took one of their favorite storylines and did something bad to it.
I don't know. Right. I guess it's sort of, that's sort of a no-win. Maybe they should just try and modify, try to find, like, do their own original story that's, I mean, sort of like that, but not that, you know? I don't know. Like, Indiana Jones is sort of like other adventure serials, but it wasn't just, like, a direct parody. It wasn't, like, a Flash Gordon type thing where it's like, right. Oh, yeah, remember the Flash Gordon series back in the day? Like, anyone would care, you know? Like, there'd be 80-year-old men watching the movie being like, that's not the way it was. I do impressions now.
Sound a little bit like you're Sean Connery.
The new season of Feudal Podcast.
Me doing impressions. I should have known it was you. Was that it? I haven't said this in a while.
I know.
I'm rusty in my womb.
You are.
What was the song you were singing?
It was going to be "Sweet Child of Mine." but the lyrics were changed.
I used the quarter and broke open the mirror, and Womack was staring me in the face. I had to get to Womack, so I crushed a quarter. Oh, Womack. I should have known it was you, Womack. You piece of shit. It's not Womack. It's Womack.
It's Womack.
Womack. He always says Womack.
Womack.
Womack. I should have known it was you, you piece of shit. He really is a piece of shit. Womack is, dude.
Now, Womack
was Forsythe, right?
No, we talked about this. Forsythe was Womack Jr.
Right.
Womack was John Spence. It was Leo from The West Wing.
That's right. Leo.
Leo from The West Wing.
Yeah.
Your favorite show.
The guy who talks like this, kind of.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah. A little bit like that.
Good impression.
You like that? It's Womack.
It's Womack. You know Womack. Leo from your favorite show, The West Wing.
Oh, The West Wing, dude.
Yeah, remember? He was the chief of staff until he had a heart attack because the president wanted him to be able to predict the future about what would happen if he sent troops to protect Jerusalem and make it a universal city or whatever. Some weird, weird idea.
He should have made it a universal soldier.
That would have been awesome.
Did they ever bring that up on The West Wing?
He wouldn't be able to smell potatoes. I think they do at one point.
He wouldn't be able to smell potatoes. Yeah, he does a really, really awful Van Damme impression. It's pretty funny.
Really?
Van Damme.
Well, the thing is, you need the knot in the head to get the proper, repercussive factors.
But he, it's not too hard to do Van Damme, because you just kind of, you talk, and then you throw really hard R's into
it. And you try to say it fast enough, so it's like, if they don't know my English is broken, if I say it quickly, they'll think I'm just...
I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It sounds like some terrible Russian.
It's like really bad.
He's not even Russian, so yeah.
You have to talk about the kumite. Belgian. That's the Belgian. Only thing. You
kumite,
have to
kumite, yeah.
You always got to talk about.
There's always a kumite somewhere. There's this guy who's a professional. He's a super low level. He just went pro in MMA type fighting, and this like young kid. And he got really mad at me once because I'm constantly asking him where the kumite is, and eventually he was like, "He's like, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about." He's like, "You have to stop saying it to me." I was like, "It's from Bloodsport."
Did he kick your head off afterwards?
Then after that, he was cool, and once I told him it was from
Bloodsport, he remembered.
He's like, "Oh yeah, Bloodsport." Yeah.
You remember Chong Li? Chong Li.
He's always doing the thing with his fists. Yeah,
he's really excited, and he can do his nipples.
Chong Li.
Remember when he rips the biker's like bandana off and like ties it to his leg?
He like takes it and like throws it on the floor. And then he
beat him.
He's like, "I can destroy bikers." I thought that guy's beard would have been
was played by
name.
Ogre.
Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Right. When he became a nerd.
When he became a nerd, he was accepted.
he was accepted into the nerds because finally. He was incredibly stupid and he had no social value beyond drinking.
Well, I think the whole they expanded the nerd peer review to just being the sort of freaks and geeks aspect
right.
of it.
Instead of just nerds.
It's just people that are not the beautiful people with the sweaters tied around their waist that are part of Skull and Bones or
whatever. When's the last time you guys tied a sweater? I haven't tied a sweater on my waist.
I did that yesterday.
Did you?
No.
Oh, no, I got it wrong. I meant when like they
the
sweater
around the top. Yeah.
The ascot style.
Ascot,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked in the one, the Futurama with the robot house.
Mm-hmm.
Robot house? But they do the snooty, you know, mm-hmm. the snooty fraternity guys. Like, their voices are so, like, ridiculous. They always talk like that. Mm-hmm. That was good.
That is good.
Definitely.
Thanks for bringing it up.
I was disappointed in when I finally did see... National Lampoon's Animal House.
It's really not that funny.
It didn't have more. I wanted more with the Dean because I thought that the Futurama where the Dean was always like constantly like robot house, right. And there was that whole thing with the Dean.
Yeah.
I knew I'd seen clips of National Lampoon like on TV and like there's a thing with like a horse, and I thought that's kind of funny and stupid. And I'm like, there's gonna be a whole bunch with the Dean. The Dean's gonna constantly be going like Animal House.
He's only in like three scenes.
And it wasn't. Yeah. And I thought that in The Simpsons they did the whole thing about like about Corey and Chug-a-Lug House and the Dean being all mad and being like Corey. And I'm like, none of that was actually a reference. It was like they just took something that was kind of a mediocre like movie with Amadeus and Vir Koto from Babylon 5.
Right.
both being jumped into this kind of lame group that also had MacGyver's friend.
MacGyver's friend, right?
Yeah.
Who for some reason, you know, he's like a greaser in it.
Yeah.
But he also wears goggles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he's like the biker one, it seems like, or something.
Who's that dude that looks like Paul Rudd? That one dude.
You're talking about Timothy...
He looks like old-fashioned Paul Rudd. Or
something. He was the one, he's the weird ally because he looks like he would be the guy that would be the dick.
The overconfident,
it's the one that like they always have to have a character like that that's completely out of place with these because he would be fine in high society.
Yeah.
He's like the smart like. Yeah,
but he chooses it and leads it because he's like better to be ruler in hell, right?
What's his name? The shorter guy with the Jew hair. Who's dating
Amadeus?
Who's dating Karen Allen? who's the other guy who's way too good for this group? He hangs out with them anyway.
Oh, that guy!
He's
in a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
I just can't.
He's the
place
detective
him.
In The Mask. who's chasing around?
Yeah, maybe he is. Yeah. I think
what's
right
his
stupid
name in The Mask, dude?
I don't remember that movie. Gosh, I remember when he blows like something out of a or he pulls condoms out of his pocket and it says wrong pocket. That's the only joke I remember from that movie.
Oh, it's Stanley Ipkiss.
Yeah,
Ipkiss. And so that guy from Animal House is constantly going around going, Ipkiss!
Mm-hmm.
Ipkiss! Yeah.
Remember Mr. Shick-a-Dance?
Right. Yeah, dude, Shick-a-Dance from Ace Ventura.
He's the best. His name is Gold.
I heard animals.
That is a pretty good
He was also the teacher in Pi.
Right.
He was like, it's numerology, it's not the science anymore.
Yeah, that guy's a good actor.
Max. He was in a bunch of episodes of The Equalizer.
He's one of those people who, like, you know, like, you never know how far you're going to bald.
Right.
And his bald line went down to, like, Peter Boyle level. Right here. Like, it's all just bald. And there's like right there. Like
that's like an unnatural level of bold.
It is. Like Dan Castellaneta, his goes like right over his ears.
Just like he looks like a monk. He was supposed to be a monk,
like
probably.
Like Picard. Picard's got a nice thing going on.
Five.
It's all gray or white.
Engage. Picard was funny on that episode of The Extras. Did you see that? Season one, the last episode. He's like, her script falls down. Of course, I see everything, and then it was all about I see everything, and then it was just really perverted.
I thought that the funniest thing out of all the actors that they put on there was the Samuel L. Jackson thing was pretty good, but the Ian McKellen thing was fantastic because he kept over explaining
how to act.
And
you
happens.
Pretend because
he's like,
you're acting.
He's like, I'm not actually Gandalf.
Yeah.
They pointed the camera
Wizard.
At me, and Peter Jackson said action, and I pretended to be Gandalf. And he's like, yeah, I understand. I understand how
Wizard.
It works.
Yeah.
You shall not
pass. Yeah, he just did that.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
give a synopsis of what where Firefly is set.
Okay, Firefly is set in the far-flung future where...
what year?
Earth it was. I don't know, I'm going to say 2225.
2517, actually.
He's got the website.
Yeah. Wikipedia. What a bastard.
No,
I thought you were just full of knowledge.
No, I knew that from before.
Sure I said that. I can say that too.
2517? Sort of a World War One theme kind of going on there with the trench warfare between the brown coats and the that's what I like to do.
That's my thing.
That's my thing. Totally my thing. You always cite the example of Marcel Duchamp's nude descending stairs being compared to the Transformers.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then what's the point, right? No one else is going to listen to a podcast. They'll listen to this one because they'll know that we'll get that. They'll get that. We'll get that over-explained, hyper-academic, completely
from
ridiculous
you.
Out of nowhere.
From
yeah,
you.
That's all it needs.
You should do a separate podcast where you do that stuff.
What? It's fun. You need the interplay. You need everyone else to kind
of
know.
You need the rest of us to be annoyed when you do
it. You'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see.
Fine. Yeah, this is why the Skype thing will be great, because then when it's all Halo
then
night,
I don't have to be here.
I can just be like, okay, you guys want to play Halo? Bye.
You're working so hard to do this thing where you don't actually have to interact with anyone.
With
ever.
Anyone ever, yeah.
Seriously.
It's more interactive.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, yeah, I'm not kidding. But
it'll be cold and dead if it's on
Joss stage. Whedon.
25-17. I did not. Let's see. What did I know about Joss Whedon before watching this show?
Short. Angel.
Well, no.
Dark Angel.
He's
tubby.
I knew that a lot of people thought that the Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show based on a mediocre movie with Donald Sutherland.
Not that mediocre.
I had Donald Sutherland and Rutger Hauer.
that equals media.
Rutger Hauer and Pee-wee.
And Pee-wee.
And Luke.
And Christy Swanson.
And Luke.
Christy Swanson's kind of hot, but...
Who the hell's Luke?
Luke Perry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
thank God, I could get into that.
The creepy greaser who comes to the prom uninvited?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch... I think I've seen the movie like one time.
Okay. Anyway,
I watched the show.
I used to think Christy Swanson was super hot when I was younger.
She was pretty hot, yeah.
Remember The Chase?
Yeah, dude. They bone in a car going down the freeway.
And she's so tan in it.
Yeah, like, she's got that, like...
And that was back when they didn't do fake tanning.
Right, so she was just charred.
She was completely charred.
She's, like, well done.
She was. But, like, you couldn't tell how dark she was when she was next to Charlie Sheen, because he's also incredibly, incredibly tan.
It's
because
he probably passes out in the sun a lot, I imagine.
They both looked like that old lady in Something About Mary.
Or the old lady from Throw Mama from the Train.
You always used to do that impression of her voice. Was it one thing she said you always would say? It is.
That's all. That's all it was. I'd say, Owen,
come in here.
Because she had that ridiculous voice.
It was that in Goonies. That was the only movie she was in.
Yeah.
She was super old when she was in both of those too. Like, she got her career, but when she was like 80,
whatever works, I guess. Okay, so I knew that a lot of people thought that the Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show was good or whatever, and I never really watched it. Never really got into it. I really still don't care because it's just a bunch of chicks doing stupid shit. And it's got,
that's usually
it's got vampires that when they stab them, they immediately turn into fake dust stuff, not real dust, and
CGI.
It just didn't look compelling to me. But then. I found out that they were doing a science fiction show on Fox, and I used to watch, The X-Files, and it was like, The X-Files was moving, or it was going to disappear, and it was like, what is Fox going to do with It's Friday? So they had two shows. One was called John Doe. It was about a guy who mysteriously could just do everything, and a couple episodes that were actually pretty well written, because it would be really hard to structure a show where your protagonist could essentially figure just about anything out, and still have it be like a mystery or whatever. And, I mean, it had the whole bait and switch of, there'd be two episodes would be about that conspiracy, and then there'd be a handful that are all about stupid shit that maybe... But the other show was Firefly, and it was presented as sort of a space
Western.
Cowboy show, space Western. So I thought, okay, this is kind of like trying to be genre blending, which around the same time, I think, as when I was starting to watch Cowboy Bebop, and, like, the idea of genre blending was a very interesting thing to me because I had just started studying film, and art history and everything, and there's this whole sense of the postmodern dilemma is that once you're done categorizing things and you've kind of come full circle along that and you've broken outside of defined categories, be they genre or like a style of painting, then what do you do? Everything is considered valid. That makes nothing valid. So, baby shit on a canvas is art too, but what that really means is can you tell? There's no new stories to tell, for you know, for storytellers, is this whole sense of, so what do you do within a given genre or whatever? So the thing is, you start combining genres and you can at least create new spectacle. You can have a train and a spaceship in the same shot, which is what essentially happened in the first episode, The Train Job, which was the first episode aired on the TV.
Right.
So,
but it's actually like the third episode.
It's the third episode, yeah. Because there was the movie pilot. And so it kind of starts, I remember watching it thinking that it kind of has this kind of unappealing aspect to it, because it starts with all the stuff already having happened, and you feel kind of like you missed an episode, which is really what you did. And that's, if they had done that on purpose, then they would have structured it a little better, and I think a fuller audience would have appreciated that and worked with it a lot more. I think they probably lost a lot of their audience by not just starting with the pilot. I could see why they started outside of the pilot, because a lot of times it's like an instant hook to just start in the middle of the action, you know? Mm. Just start with stuff having already been happened. But they had so much of that already before the pilot that they should have just started with the pilot. So that was their big mistake on Fox's part. The other one was probably the... I mean, Friday is never a good night for anybody. Even geeks sometimes have a life every third night, you know, every third weekend, so they're not going to be watching it.
There was no TiVo back
and,
then.
And yeah, there was no TiVo or anything. Horrible, I mean, days. So I don't even know... How does TiVo work for ratings? Does it still count?
Well, if we just did that thing. Yeah, you write down what you TiVo'd and it counts it.
Okay,
so...
You haven't watched it in that time slot. Yeah. Then there you go, then. So yeah, that would have helped a lot. That certainly would help on weekend stuff. It's just the never-ending problem. It was probably had a pretty big budget for a science fiction show. It had a lot of complexity going on, and it didn't have like the instant likable glistening characters, because the captain is essentially like a hard ass, which, you know, is awesome.
Right.
You know, he just murders people when he needs to, when that's what needs to happen, because
making him a lot more jokey than the network wanted him to be. Even harder and darker, or something like that.
Yeah, but it's the combination that really works the best.
It's a combination, because there's the moments like it happens in the, not in the pilot, but which is the one where Simon, Mal tells Simon that Kaylee is dead after she got shot.
Yeah, that's in the pilot.
He runs in slow motion to the thing,
uh-huh.
and then he goes in there, and she's sitting there with the preacher. And it cuts back to him in the cockpit with the other four, and they're laughing uproariously. and he's like, "I'm a bastard" or something like that. But he does that like really straight face when he tells him that Kaylee's dead and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of they did it a couple times in the series. And my favorite line in the whole series, and then in the movie also, was in the movie where he sneak into what's the whore's name? I forget.
Lenara.
Yeah, and he sneaks into her room and. And when she's not looking, and he has that like hood thing on.
Oh, when he's doing like the pray,
dear Buddha, I want a pony, and
because she has like a little idol thing, he does it like it's Santa or something.
I thought the movie did a really good job of making him like this. He was even more badass, because when you make a bad guy that's that like completely unbeatable,
mm-hmm.
and then your everyman captain guy, you know, is able to beat him. Which happened to be from luck, because that nerve cluster was taken off his back, you know, all those years ago. But still, that was cool.
That was kind of a deus machina. But I think, so the basic premise, there's a galactic alliance is what they're called.
Right.
So it's pretty basic. If you have, like, a city, then you have the nice part of the city. Like, I just finished watching The Wire. You've got Baltimore, so you got the nice part, and then you end up, as it sprawls out, you get to the slums, you start with the rich people and the nice opulence. That's Persephone.
Mm.
I think the capital planet is Persephone.
I think so, yeah.
There's something about Earth that was, I don't know if they ever get into if Earth is actually still a viable planet, or if it just all turned into, we have to leave because we've destroyed all the resources,
right.
And it's all seed ships like in Trigun or something like that. And so then they spread out, and then there's sort of the mid-level planets that are semi-terraformed, semi-developed, and then the justification for these planets being like a Western is just that there's just
they terraform nothing them, they left them alone, the people are there.
People
are
what they have,
frontier.
You know, they're mudders, yeah. They've got nothing but mud and dirt,
yeah.
And, you know, you feed them mead, you give them bread that's filled with alcohol in liquid form, and that will make your slaves work just fine,
right.
Like in Egypt. Which is a line from one of the episodes.
It had the the mix-up of characters where, like...
Yeah, had the rogues gallery.
Stereotypical kind of character there. Except for, I mean, the captain was more... I know I've seen that same character before in probably dozens of things, basically because it's the...
Well, I'm sure, like, any, like, serious anime guy would probably be able to sit there and completely rip that show apart and say, like, this is a reference to this, and it would get real obscure, and it would get real thin because, you know, oh, his hairdo looked like that, you know, whatever. And I'm not going to do that. I mean, obviously, Joss Whedon has, you know, read some stuff, and he's seen some stuff, and he liked it, and he used it to make his story, but his story is his story, and his world is his world. And it's a good world. I think it's well-developed, and that, to me, is the real shame of the show not getting further seasons as a television series, is that they could have played out some of what was clearly capable of happening in the show.
Yeah, they had to rush a lot of that stuff into the movie.
The Shepherd
that's where I felt bad about how the movie was, too, in a lot of ways, because it feels like they just tried to get it all out of the way, and like, okay, now we're done. We finished the story for the fans, and that's it. And that's kind of how it felt. Because to me, as I'm watching it, like in the first season, I'm immediately thinking, like, wow, this show, I mean, it's not that great. I mean, I like some of the Western stuff, and I like steampunk kind of stuff. I like trains and things, but there's a degree of scale that's going on there that they're just kind of hinting at in a lot of the show. And occasionally they'll go to a more opulent planet, and you'll see a little of that, like when they break into they do the medical scanning stuff, and when they...
steal a laser and stuff like that.
Yeah, and when they go to the planet where all the people live on the little floating islands and stuff.
That's probably one of my favorite episodes.
The shindig. Right. That one was more of a reference to kind of like old society, like Edwardian, Victorian era style. So that's why it's so great, because you've got all these different style capacities, and so you can have all kinds of different spectacle. And there was more to explain in that world. There was more to talk about with the different characters. Like you said, they each have stereotypical aspects. But, so you've got the comic relief in the form of the pilot, kind of. But then there's also, like, why is he such a good pilot? Because he's a really good pilot under stress. So there's a backstory there. You've got, obviously, you've got the backstory about the war with the second in command and the captain.
Yeah.
You've got the backstory with the Shepherd, who is clear has been either had some kind of military thing or he was involved with some kind of crime syndicate.
Except for you never get that backstory.
You never ever do. No, that's why I'm saying this is sort of in the whole as I'm watching like the first few episodes of the show back when I was watching on TV. This is what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, man, if this can survive till like a season two, it'll start getting really good by then. You know, like really epic, because basically what you would see yourself happening is you would see that they're going to keep talking about this former war with this rebellion with this alliance thing, and it's just going to get to the point where there's going to actually be a second war and a second, you know, thing, and the captain's going to end up getting really involved in that, and it would just make more sense. It would get really epic, it would get really big, and it wouldn't even be about them just being on that ship anymore. Like any kind of good story is that it gets outside of its own little like coffee shop or wherever it is, and it starts giving you episodes where when they start, or if you tune into the middle of them and you know the show, you're like, what the hell is this for a second? Like, I remember I tuned into like the second or third episode of the third season of Battlestar Galactica one time, and I was like just flipping by, and I hadn't seen a bunch of the season two, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this? And I'm like, this is Battlestar Galactica, but this is totally changed. Everything's different because, like, you know, they skip ahead a year. They're on a planet.
Yeah.
All the stuff that
New Caprica,
Caprica, and everything would just completely. They changed everything, and so not change for the sake of change, but the fact that you continue to grow a bigger story, which Whedon clearly had the seeds.
Plus, they probably didn't want to get like stagnant, just like them being in space.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
The time.
That get tired too, and so there would have been an expansion. There would have been
8 years passed in Battlestar.
Yeah, they were on New Caprica for like a long time, like years and years.
I'm not sure if it was that many years.
Well, it's either seven. I think it might be 7 years.
It was somewhere like 6-7 years.
Because I know
it was a
Sharon's baby is like grown up now.
Well, no,
that
baby might be playing with that. And maybe she has accelerated growth because she's whatever. Anyways, I didn't mean to get off onto that tangent, but I was just trying to draw on like the idea of that he had good characters there, and they could have done. So to me, the real shame of the series is that they weren't able to kind of grow it out more. That said, I mean, I thought it was pretty good writing, and all the characters were they're fun, and they were interesting, and the dynamics between them all I thought was pretty good. The captain, I think, is probably one of the cooler like characters I've seen in things, because two or three times he did stuff that was just completely unexpected, but totally like the like what you'd have to do in that situation, mm-hmm. and completely badass. I mean, when he shoots that one guy in the beginning and the end of the pilot, he just walks right up and bang.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like that, just, he's holding a hostage. Yeah. Like he just needs to take. He just realize he sees the situation. He identifies it before he even gets there, and he just takes solves a problem. But in the train job, I think it's the train job. It's the second episode. There's the part where they're going to leave the guy, and he's like telling him, you know, I'm going to turn you guys in, and I'm going to chase after you for the rest of the time. And so the captain just kicks him into the engine, and that's the end of that guy. You know? Just like, okay,
and then he says the same thing to the next guy. And he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to take this money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, yeah.
Exactly. And so there was a, and I like that about that, because that can be a hard combination to do. It's like, the captain's a badass, but he's also got a sense of humor, but he's got a sense of propriety and everything, which they show when they're at dinner and all that.
Right.
You know, he doesn't want him to pray, but he doesn't want like a bunch of crass talk going on either. I mean, I don't know. I talked a lot about my feelings of the show, and I haven't seen it in a while. And you guys just recently saw it, so if you had things you want to talk about.
Well, Blaine, you haven't seen it at all. What did you think?
Nah, it was good. I liked it.
How did you think it compared to other sci-fi shows that you like?
Well, the only other real sci-fi show I watch right now is Battlestar. But
Or Stargate. You watched a lot of Stargate.
Yeah, oh, Stargate.
That's what I'm saying, stuff like that.
Well, I definitely like... I think Firefly is definitely better than
very
Stargate.
High production value for something that was shot on digital video and had... You said something about it being a high budget thing, but Whedon has said in interviews that they gave him barely anything, and they really
it seemed like they did were doing like a lot with a little. Like,
They
worked for some of it, but I think it was just like the visual effects in the two or three times they had to go they went somewhere big,
mm-hmm.
were probably the bigger justification. I think it was more trying to think about why they were necessarily going to cancel it, and it probably did come down to just not enough viewers. Because what are you going to say if it's a good show? Chances are it doesn't have the two or three things that it needs to make it successful. Fox is tough too, because I think they give the most shows that seem like they could be cool seem to premiere on Fox and then immediately get shit canned.
What was that show that Mick G made? It was on Fox.
I was talking about Fastlane, the Mick G show.
Really?
Basically
yeah.
That was the one I was
terrible.
No, I was talking about Prison Break actually, which no.
Fastlane was terrible.
It just seems like there's been a handful.
It was like
of
Miami
them.
Vice or something.
Yeah, it was
there's like these cop partners.
It was Bill Bellamy and the guy that looks like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
that guy looks
and,
exactly.
And
like
Kelly
Tom
Kapowski
Cruise.
Was their
the
boss.
The guy who was in Supernova.
Yeah, the guy from Supernova that turned into like a monster demon or something like that.
And that show was awful.
Yeah, bad. But so I don't know, man. Firefly, it was just like, man, this show had been able to keep going. It would have gotten a really
definitely.
Cool.
Because
like
the blue
it sucks
because
it showed you like
that.
Everything that they like. It had like all the back, like you know, you could see what like they would show, but like you didn't get to see it like any of it. Like they set it all up.
Yeah, they started.
And then it's like over,
up.
Like mm-hmm. right when they were like finishing, like setting it up to get going.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's just the thing is that a good show like that takes like some time to build characters.
Yeah, like
and
to
stuff
unfold
stuff.
All of the,
like I mean,
shit.
Talk about other sci-fi shows. I'm probably going to catch hell for this, but I actually found myself watching Babylon 5 and finding that it wasn't too bad of a show because it was like mainly all one guy's idea. It was
right.
a Straczynski guy's idea, and I mean, like, you know, say what you will, he writes some pretty hokey shit, but at least he had like a full idea that
I never really watched.
A
it
sounds like
and
a coward to me.
Yeah, the first season of it is mostly crap. And
right.
The second season is like, but there's little bits and hints at things, and then the second season starts to build more into it, and then by the third and the fourth and the fifth, it's like every episode becomes continuous on top of itself, and that's how Firefly would have been. And Firefly would have been like, you know, or potentially could have been, is that it would have been a bunch of, the second half of the first season could have been more character development stuff, and then the second season could have been a little of that, and then a little more into the politics and
right,
this
yeah.
idea of other. You'd have to bring in other kinds of characters, like maybe some kind of former general from the rebels or the brown coats. And I mean, you know, it's like it's in my head floating around just how the show could have like gone in a direction where you know there's like a fleet battle in the middle of the fourth season and stuff. And it could have been really cool. I mean, you get all that nifty sci-fi spectacle, but then you can also have the down home simple. You know, shindig episodes where
right.
they're, you know, they're on a fake swan floating around in a river dressed in fancy digs.
Digs.
You know, or they're on a train playing backgammon, I don't know. Whatever. But the point is that it's all there, because it's all there. And like you said, they laid out all the paints.
Right,
and
yeah.
And they laid out the canvas, and they kind of sketched out a few things, and then they're like, okay, we're going to get started, and they're like, yeah, you're done.
I don't feel like painting anymore.
and so then when the movie came out, I was like, wow, this could be cool. What is the movie going to do? Is the movie going to be a way to try and get people interested in maybe doing the show again? Is it going to try to... Is it going to be like part one of a trilogy potentially or something? And it didn't really do all that hot. I mean, everyone was thinking, well, this is its chance. You know, it could be like a Star Trek, you know, where it got canceled because it had low ratings. But then once they did a movie, all the fans... And the fans had built up. Like I said, I think one of the most popular podcasts now is one about this show, about Firefly. I don't know what's going on with that. If it's just such a geek culture ingrained in whatever they can pick together from that, you know... incomplete canvas.
There's not really much that you could talk about, I wouldn't think, because there's really so few know. Episodes. It's, you know, like
people wrote books or something, maybe, you know, like the Star Wars.
Like that whole Star Wars universe shit.
But okay, so let me see. The 16th episode of the show has kind of like, he's like the prototype of the badass guy that's in the movie. He's the bounty hunter. But he gets killed in the end of the 16th episode.
Jettison.
Right? Yeah.
Spacing.
Yeah, he's spaced, but which I think was kind of too bad.
It doesn't really ever show him really die.
No,
like
it shows him. Like
it's just floating in the space.
Is he floating with like a mask and all that?
Yeah,
stuff?
He's got like all those.
Well, then they were gonna find him,
and he's
so you know that he would have like come back in time.
Last thing he says is like yup or well or something like that. He just says that, and it just kind of goes to the credits.
Yeah, and that one was good. I think of all the 16 episodes, there were a couple that I thought were just kind of not that great. Let me see. The one that was about the kid that was there in their unit, and then he had some issue, and they were... It was the one where they're being chased, and they have to hide in that cave, and they're getting bombarded.
Mm-hmm.
That one seemed kind of loud. And then the one where they went back to the town with the whores, and they had to help whores.
Yeah, that one was kind of weak.
That one was kind of weak. But by and large, a lot of the rest of them were pretty good. Even the Mutters one about
Jane
about
and
Jane.
His statue.
Yeah, and his statue. That one was good because it brought up the whole idea of people glorifying somebody that really, you know, doesn't deserve it.
I don't think any of the episodes were really bad. They were just like some were like definitely weaker than others though.
But it was a sort of thing of it was just a season one thing. They had to develop stuff, and the one where he's getting tortured was kind of cool because it just showed like, you know, that he could get tortured pretty savagely and still be able, and it also
and keep
so,
his sense of
that
humor.
That was so brutally violent too. That episode,
yeah,
was like,
and it was like that.
And then
yeah.
they all go in there and they kill all those guys.
And it shows how cool that she can actually do something,
River?
And she's not just like a constant... Because her character is very, very annoying a lot of times.
Oh, totally.
In
she
the show.
Was the worst part of it in the show, I think.
But then in the movie, she was like really badass. They never really got anything with the dudes with the gloves either. Blue gloves.
Yeah,
guys.
That was all
the
conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah, that was in the comic book.
They wrote it off.
There's like four comic books that do this miniseries about them, and they end up getting spaced also.
Yeah, they get spaced, and then it just writes them off. They were just part of... There was some adjunct of the Alliance, like some research
group. No, actually, they don't just get spaced. I think they blast them in the blast trail of the ship or something like that.
It's something, kind of last minute, yeah.
How many of them were there? Because
just
they're...
Basically,
but they say in the show like that they just travel in twos, but it was like they alluded to something
right, in
bigger.
The comic book, they say that there's only two of them. And they're basically independent contractors who were hired by...
They're like badass.
I'm sure they just had
someone
to say,
high up
you know.
In
because,
the
yeah, he probably sort of retconned his own world just so he could finish it. And
which makes sense. Like, also, if that's the only way you can finish it.
It also has the hiring of the operative in that miniseries.
I think it does, yeah.
The black dude?
Yeah.
Chitwell?
That's
Chiwetel.
The black
Chiwetel.
Dude.
The guy with the sword.
The whiner.
That guy was sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, he is sweet. Because
he was a whiner in that.
He was a preachy son of a
bitch.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. Like
especially when you
hunter.
See him get fucked, you know.
Yeah,
like,
totally. That's the best thing about like
to see somebody preachy get like, you know, what they have coming
get
to them is always
them.
Fun, yeah.
And then to come back and bitch, how do you keep moving? He's like, I don't know, you just do. What a whiner. I thought that was great because he's like, just the way he like simplifies things. Captain's awesome.
I think like the way that they killed Wash was pretty like
pointless. Yeah, that was
that dumb. Like it was stupid. Yeah, it was just like they did it just to like because they had to kill a character.
But I remember you guys saying something about that before I saw the movie. Yeah,
I said that they killed the Shepherd. I didn't know you hadn't seen it. The Shepherd thing
was the most annoying to me because he wasn't in the movie at all, and then they show him laying.
He's like dead. Like, oh, well, they go meet him first, right?
Yeah, they
hide out there.
Yeah, for like a little while, and then they have their little talk or whatever. Right. Him and
Matt. Yeah, but I mean, he was in it for like 5 minutes, basically. Yeah. You know, like
they just sort of gave everybody their lip service and then killed them off. And I think killing off the pilot was pointless.
It was just a stupid way that like they did it.
I think they needed to raise the stakes a little bit at that point, and that kind of just served to do that. It's just all immediately.
Like, yeah, like, oh, we need to kill one of these lovable characters. Yeah, why not her?
Zoe?
She's the engineer.
Oh, black chick. Yeah, well, she's like, I think they tried to kill the most, like, least important, you know, character.
Wash is the pilot.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, he's the comic relief. That's the other thing, is if you kill the comic relief, then you kind of get so somber.
It's like, oh shit, man, this is... They're not joking around.
They're not. Exactly.
All we've got now is David Krumholtz.
Steve the pirate.
Yeah, doesn't he get killed too?
Kill Krumholtz too.
Yeah, wow. It really kind of got... Yeah, Mr. Universe got smoked. And then they answered the whole thing about the Reavers. They kind of wrote them off, which was dumb. Yeah. They're just like, oh, they just all got, you know, brainwashed by crazy insanity on this planet, and they're all regular people, like, but...
It was something about the medicine. The air.
They were trying to make them happy, right?
On Raccoon City
Planet. No, they were trying to make them complacent.
Raccoon City Planet. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was just supposed to calm them.
They should intertwine Firefly with Resident Evil. For Resident Evil 4 or whatever the next one is.
Resident Evil Firefly. Serenity.
Wait, there's already 4?
Yeah, 4 was the awesome one for the GameCube.
I was talking about the movies, not the games.
No.
It was 3, right?
Yeah, it was
Apocalypse
Extinction.
Is the third one? Yeah, Extinction. That movie was good.
Then there's going to be, like, Resurrection, and then there's going to be,
Armageddon.
Another, yeah.
Yes.
Apocalyption. They're going to start making
it. It's going to be, like, Renaissance and stuff. It's going to go through all these different phases.
George Romero's going to take over, and it'll be about, like, presidents and stuff, and they'll call it like Apocalection.
Resident Evil Apocalection.
It'll just be like a bunch of people like preaching politics, and then Mila Jovovich comes in and shoots him through the head.
With her superpowers, she'll be setting birds on fire and stuff.
Oh, God.
Did you watch that?
No.
You didn't see that one?
Well, that was in the movie.
I heard about it.
Yeah, just to let you know, that was from the
wow.
movie. And remember the whole pointless thing with like those crazy like rednecks or something? Like, in the very beginning, and, like, it was totally, like, pointless. Yeah, it's just to show that she was, like, sweet.
Yeah. So, back to Firefly.
You watched it.
Oh, yeah. No more Resident Evil.
That's fine. The one thing that they did in the movie I liked is that they start with the what should have been or could have been the first scene in the first episode is how he broke
broken out a second time.
Oh, what?
No, it wasn't.
Didn't they find him again like after that, and they got on the ship for the first, or no, they got him in the beginning, huh? Like they lowered the harness down to him.
It's the second time.
What do you mean the second time?
Well, that's, he broke her out. You never see the first time he broke her out in the movie. That's,
I thought that was the first
second time. In that comic book miniseries, she's captured.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that aspect.
That's
of it.
Weird.
I was always confused by that because like it shows them rescue
there. They rescue him.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
That's why who was there? Confused.
All the spaceship guys.
That's why the fire.
That's why they're all there because it's the second time he's.
Oh, really?
That was all. Yeah, that was always confusing to me because I was like, I didn't know if they were trying to, like, redo, like, what happened, like, you know, completely, and be like, that's how they got on, like, they knew them, or they hired them or something.
I hate when I do that, when I completely think something's different than what it is.
Yeah, but I thought that was...
Whatever, I'm not going to argue that. You're right, I do remember that aspect of it now, and being like...
I never read the comic.
That makes a lot more sense, yeah.
Like, the whole time I thought, wait a minute, is
this... being lifted on a little...
Yeah, the thing that goes
thing.
Up to the
yeah,
ship.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize in the movie that was them.
They used that
like
in the one where they're in the garbage disposals of those island things, right? Yeah, I really liked the island one. See, like, that to me was where you saw the show really turn a corner, where it started exploring different worlds and the ways they would look and how things would be different.
Is that the laser one?
I don't... It's some old gun.
Elastic.
Some old gun,
that was one of my fun boys.
and
had his wife
and all that, but
yeah, there was that
hot gigantic titty bitch of a wife.
She's like ridiculous.
That's the redhead.
Yeah,
like, yeah. She does. She has a huge rack. She's on Matt. She's like
she's kind of thick though. Yeah. Like they make it look like they show her face a lot, but then when you see her body, she's like a thick.
Well, she's always wearing loose clothes or like you know, kind of like those pregnant women clothes.
Right. Yeah. Clothes. Like she's always wearing muumuus the whole time. The show.
Too much.
I've looked at all the pictures of her.
I'm like, sure you have.
Oh, we both did that one night.
I didn't. So,
that makes it even
good.
Creepier.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We were both just sitting around looking at pictures.
We filmed the whole Taco Bell thing.
We did, dude. There
was it was a long night.
It was between them, though. They didn't. Yeah. They, so they couldn't account.
No, she's a little in the middle, but she's got much back.
Look, that, what is that? That sounds like some
baby got that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a terrible early 90s track.
Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2 message board.
Oh my god. Those exist?
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think we're just going to have to rent it.
We are.
I think we should watch it again.
We should probably rent it tomorrow.
That's really not a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh my god. You guys got your evening planned.
What? You think there's something wrong with a bunch of dudes sitting around watching?
I'm not going to judge. I'm going to be probably watching like a couple episodes of Last Exile.